Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're taking a deep dive into tech capital. We're going to be looking at the recent developments for the tech incubator company and the portfolio companies. We're going to be focusing to start with on Guidant. We're also going to be touching on GenIP before we look at Lucid and Bellascura. And to do that, we're very kindly joined once more by Dr. Clifford Gross, who, of course, is the CEO of Tech Capital. Very much welcoming you back to the podcast, Cliff.
Oh, thank you, Jonathan. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
As I said, Cliff, we're going to start with Guidant. There was quite a comprehensive update last week from the company. So we're going to look, first of all, if we may, at the developments specific to Guidant. And then we're going to be looking at the wider market because there's some quite interesting developments there. So for you and where you're sitting, Cliff, what were the standout developments for Guidant that were announced last week?
Well, there were quite a few, but I guess the upshot is the adoption of autonomous vehicles across the United States is accelerating, and Guidant's business is growing in lockstep with this. Specifically, they announced that the Jacksonville Transportation Authority issued a contract extension for several Guidant AV projects. And as you probably know, Jacksonville is a city in Florida and it has the largest landmass of any city in the US. So as a result, it has quite a large, extensive transportation authority. Also, the upcoming planned RMCC deployments for Michigan State University and the University of Buffalo are under negotiations. Finally, a proposal has been submitted to provide RMCC services for the city of Peachtree Corners in Georgia. So the client acquisition activity is on the growth curve, and we're hopeful that they achieve these growth milestones.
Thank you. So I'd like to drill down now, if we may, Cliff, into the investment thesis around Guidant, because, of course, it may have evolved in recent years. Of course, there's been big developments out there, as you touched on, within the AV market just in the last few weeks. So the first question here is, how has the Guidant investment thesis evolved over the years? And what, if any, extra dimension does the developments that we're seeing from a regulatory standpoint in the United States add to Guidant at this point in time?
To be pointed about it, Guidant's investment thesis is very simple, and it has remained the same since inception of the company. And that is, all autonomous vehicles will require accurate, low-cost remote monitoring and control to enhance occupant and pedestrian safety. And that's the basis for us actually building the company in the first place, that we intuited that the terrestrial equivalent to air traffic control would be necessary to monitor the millions of autonomous vehicles that will soon be flooding the streets of the world. Now, many states, including California, Florida, Michigan, Arizona, Nevada, and Louisiana, now require remote monitoring and control of AVs. And there are additional states and federal legislation likely to follow suit, in our belief. So the market's legal requirements are basically catching up to our investment thesis. But what has changed in the last 60 days is that approximately $6 billion in new funding has been deployed for AV manufacturers, in particular WeRide and Waymo. And we believe that all of these companies will produce AVs that will need to be monitored, whether it's by the companies themselves or a third-party monitoring service such as Guidant.
So, Cliff, you've alluded to, in recent announcements from Tech Capital, to the Guidant IPO, and I'm sure this is something that investors are going to be particularly interested to hear about. So, first question here, is there any indication of timeline? And the second one is around, are there any conditions or milestones that you'd like to see Guidant hit before you push forward with the IPO?
Well, you're correct. We are targeting guidance IPO for 2025 and hope they will onboard multiple new clients a priori, because the enterprise value multiple for revenues is averaging about 100 across the autonomous vehicle industry. So it would behoove us, behoove Guidant to add as many customers as possible prior to becoming a listed company, if that happens.
Indeed, indeed. So that would be a particularly attractive valuation, I think, for investors. So I'm going to touch on the most recent tech capital IPO in GenIP. Cliff, very much building momentum. An announcement again last week shows a number of fresh orders. I think there was the largest order to date for GenIP for their new generative AI enhanced services. So the question here is really about your expectations and the progress that they've made so far. You know, how excited are you about their progress, and has it exceeded your expectations to date?
I'm thrilled, actually, about their progress. The new Gen AI reports and assignments are just better than what they were in the legacy products. And I believe that's the basis for the enthusiasm in the market amongst their customers. Since GenIP services were launched on the 1st of September 2024 this year, the company reported that 195 orders for IE reports and 8 orders for Vortex placement assignments have been secured. The reported order flow to date is close to what was achieved in all of last year with the legacy reports, and these are better reports. So the uptake has been swift, to say the least. We're excited to see what happens once the advertising program is launched, because it hasn't started yet. This is all word of mouth. The growth is all word of mouth. Another interesting point is that all of the IE reports are paid up front when ordered, providing the potential for carry investment and improved cash flow. It's a smart business model, and I think Melissa Cruz, their CEO, is doing a terrific job.
Indeed, and we will be hearing from Melissa Cruz this week on the UK Investor Magazine virtual presentation. So if you're listening to this after the fact, do check out the video section on the UK Investor Magazine website, and you'll be able to see a recording of that presentation. So next up, Cliff, we have Bellascura. So again, an announcement came out last week. This is very much around working capital finance. How do you see this as a benefit for Bellascura, their business plan, and what's the tangible benefit for them for their growth strategy in 2025?
Well, Bellascura on Friday reported it had entered into a credit facility for up to $4 million with Sallyport Commercial Finance. The facility is for 3 years and covers account receivable, purchase order, inventory, and cash flow financing. Now, Bellascura has said that the new credit facility is a cornerstone for building out its manufacturing, distribution, and sales. This, combined with the recently announced granting of reimbursement of the purchase cost for Medicare patients. Medicare is that U.S. Federal health insurance program that provides coverage for most Americans over 65, means that the company will now be able to formally launch the DiscoverR portable oxygen concentrator. Now, a recent report by the American Thoracic Society has estimated that over 1.5 million Americans currently receive supplemental oxygen through Medicare for respiratory disorders. And this helps improve their quality of life and in many instances actually prolongs their survival. Many of these patients may now be eligible to receive reimbursement for the purchase cost of a portable oxygen concentrator from Bellascura. So in short, we view this as a hugely positive event for Bellascura and for their customers that need supplemental oxygen.
Indeed. And I would encourage anybody listening to this, go back and look through Bellascura's announcements over the last year, because in addition to this, there have been significant orders secured by the company. And it looks like this financing round is very much a move to facilitate those orders. So it looks like things are gathering pace there for Bellascura. Now, moving on now, Cliff, we're going to look at Lucid. They've put out an announcement again. There's a new range out. What does this look like, Cliff?
Yeah, it's exciting. Yesterday, Innovative Eyewear launched several new models, demonstrating their commitment to continuous improvement. I'll cover a few of the upgrades. One is a new TR90, which is a type of plastic temple. This flexible plastic composite is now optician adjustable from the front tip to ensure proper fit for a much wider range of users than ever before. The additional flexibility also improves the durability of the frames. TR90 plastic is also lightweight, enabling Lucid's new glasses to be nearly 10% lighter than their previous edition of Lucid Light, which reduces the weight from approximately 48 to 44 grams. In the eyewear industry, weight is a proxy for comfort. The lighter, the better. A comfortable weight for traditional glasses is 45 grams or less. So at 44 grams, these new Lucid Light frames are coming in at the weight of traditional glasses, which is an amazing achievement in our view, because in addition to being a regular pair of glasses, they also have two batteries, two switches, microprocessors, speakers, and associated components, yet the weight is still matching traditional eyewear, which is really an achievement in engineering. So in addition to the physical features, the new glasses have improved smart features as well. And the Lucid app powers the new walkie-talkie experience, enabling users worldwide to connect with each other for free over the company's VoIP powered chat service. The chat GPT integration has also been upgraded to ChatGPT 4.0, which is analogous. I mean, it's an analogy, but take it for what it's worth. ChatGPT 4.0 has an IQ of approximately 122, which is basically PhD level in every field. So when you say Lucid glasses are smart, you're not saying it loosely. They are actually pretty darn smart. And additionally, if that word's enough, I'm sorry to keep going on, but they're working hard.
Okay, soon.
Yeah, they're working hard on multiple dimensions. They also have adaptive lenses. The Dark Side and Eclipse unisex Wayfair models include photochromic lenses at no additional cost to the customer, saving between $75 and $100 per pair over the competition. And the Millennia and Moonrise models include polarized gradient lenses for maximum sun protection, also at no additional cost. So in short, Innovative Eyewear is focused, no pun intended, on making the world's best smart eyewear and keeping it affordable. They have the talent, they have 115 patents or licenses, and that most importantly, they have listened to their customers and out-engineered and out-designed very capable competition. In our view, and this sounds a little heady and I apologize, but in our view, their new smart safety eyewear is probably the most important new eyewear produced in the last 70 years. Impressive for a young company. Previously, French engineer Bernard Mantenez invented and patented the variable focal point lens in 1953, which was produced by Essilor in 1959, the largest lens company in the world. Bernard went on to become the CEO of Essilor Group, which subsequently merged with Luxottica in 2018 to form Essilor Luxottica, the leading eyewear company in the world, with a current market cap of 106 billion euros. So I don't say it lightly, but the safety eyewear that they just produced, I think it's a record-breaking product. It's basically their iPhone 3 moments. And we're very excited about the company, as you could tell.
Yes, and I would say to anybody listening to this that wants to visualize what the smart safety eyewear looks like, do go to the Lucid website and have a look at it there, because Cliff, you've provided an excellent explanation of it, but go and see it for yourself. And of course, Cliff, I believe there is the Reebok launch for early next year. So that's going to be something that I think will probably provide Lucid with a boost as well. So moving on to the final question here, and this is going to bring everything together. Cliff, now we know there's a number of investors engaged in this story. We can tell from the number of people that have signed up to the GenIP investor presentation that there are a lot of investors out there that are interested in hearing about Tech Capital's portfolio company. So I'm going to ask you, we've of course touched on, you know, guidance, IPO next year. Of course, there's going to be launches next year. But if we look specifically at Q1 2025, for those investors that are engaged in the Tech Capital story, what can you say to them that they could expect in Q1 next year?
That's a good question. I think, in a word, Kaizen, continuous improvement, and perhaps nonlinear growth to boot. We are bullish heading into the new year.
Fantastic. Thank you. And look forward, Cliff, to speaking to you again in the new year as these developments come to fruition. So, Cliff, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Oh, it's my distinct pleasure, Jonathan. Thank you for your continued interest.
And just a final note to listeners, if you're listening to this after Tuesday evening, do check out the UK Investor Magazine video section for a recording of the GenIP investor presentation. So Cliff, once more, thank you very much. And thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.